At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Member Week is back at Lowe's with big savings for pros. Now through October 15th, my Lowe's Pro Rewards members get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, tools, building materials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings before they're gone. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Merkle Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Emory Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkle.
And I'm Brian Shipper.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It is just, it's an honor and it's a blast. And, you know, we just want to say thanks. So, you know, if you have any crazy and wild stories you would like to share with us from the road, or if you have a conversation you would like to have, you know, on the show and share with it here on the show, if you drive Uber, if you drive truck, if you drive EMT, if you, whatever you drive, you know, if you're spending time on the road, we'd love to hear your stories because we've talked to all kinds of people, transit, Ubers, and, you know, regular transit people. Yeah, we've talked to them all. So we'd love to hear your story, and you can get a hold of us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the Hammer Lane Legends webpage and hit the contact section. You can get a hold of us that way. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us because we would love to have a conversation with you. This is what we do. This is what, you know, we enjoy this. This is getting your story out there. This show is not about Brian Shipper or Brian Merkle. This show is about the person that we're having on, and it is to shine the light on you. You know, so I hope, you know, if you know somebody
to put
who drives,
that person out in the forefront.
It is, yeah. It's actually to give, yeah, to give them, to shine the light. I agree. And get a hold of us. Shipper, tell them about the voicemail line.
The voicemail line, you have a short story, 5-10 minutes, anything you seen out on the road or experienced, or just want to say hidey ho, neighbor, whatever. Give us a call, 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375.
There you go.
Leave the message. You have anything more than 10 minutes, might want to get on the webpage, contact Jack, and we'd love to do a show, talk about you, talk about it for a good...
Yeah, we want to talk
whatever.
About you.
Yes, talk about you, talk about it, talk about this, or that.
Or that. There you go.
So, have at it.
Have at it. Tell them about Buy Me a Coffee while you're on a roll.
Buy Me a Coffee is a virtual tip jar. Keeps us fueled, keeps us with beverage.
Mountain Dew, Coke, and coffee.
Yes, whatever. That's buymeacoffee.com/Hammer Lane. Virtual tip jar.
There
if you're
go.
interested in contributing, have at it. If not, thanks for looking.
Yeah, and thanks for listening anyway. Right. We just appreciate that people are listening. Anyway, while you're on the webpage, check out the gear section. Something might be something there that we're eventually going to get hats. I know, yeah, we keep talking about it, but one of these days we're going to get Jack on to get hats.
Well, I'm not going to need a hat if I go bald soon. But,
yes, you do. You need it. When you're bald, you need a hat even more, dude.
I just won't go out.
Well, yeah, well, you're speaking to a bald man, dude.
Right.
So I wear a hat. Mm-hmm. I usually wear a hat all the time. Anyway, if you find yourself in need of any kind of preparedness stuff, where can they go, Shipper?
That ain't mine.
Preparewithhll.com. Yeah. That's preparewithhll.com. Fill in for him.
Well, that's not my line.
It's okay. It's check, not my line.
Check other shows.
What is this?
I got the voicemail and the fuel part. That's it.
Oh, man. So anyway, if you find yourself in need of 25-year food,
30-year coffee,
or anything else that might come down when emergencies happen, if they don't have it, you don't need it. Right. Prepare with HLL.com.
Don't worry, Joe's always there to give you everything you need.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, he's there to give you everything you need. So.
Well, look, if you're in California.
This is exciting to me. This is still exciting to me.
Are you sure?
I am positive. We have a returning guest. Sam, how the heck are you doing?
I'm good, Brian.
Is this the same Sam from the first show and the second show and now the third show?
Exactly. And that's what's awesome about this. This is freaking, I'm like,
this is Sam I am, Sam I was, and Sam I'm going to be.
Well, it is so awesome to hear from you again, Sam, and talk with you. Man, I'm telling you what, this is just fantastic. I love it. I love having conversations with you. And I am looking forward
to... He's a seasoned pro now.
Yep. I'm looking forward to whatever we're going to talk about today, because it's always fun, it's always exciting, and it's always interesting. So on that note, Sam, how you doing?
Well, I'm good. I'm good, Brian.
Good.
Good to be back with you and talk about something a little lighter than the other conversations we've had.
Right. There you go. Yeah.
Had some heavy, serious subjects, and I've got some... stories I think you're going to like on a little lighter note today. So
fantastic. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Go shoot.
So you ready?
Yes, sir.
Knock your socks on.
I am definitely ready.
My feet are in the upright position.
What? That ain't good.
Okay, well,
Yeah. I meant I'm reclined, ready to go. Never mind.
My feet are in the upright. What do you think?
Wow. When I said it, I meant saying the trays are locked in the upright bins.
Yep. This is not a guy.
Never mind. To call the office, dude.
What airline shipper flying?
I know, right?
usually I'm the pilot.
This is Shipper's like Midnight Express.
Yes.
Anyway, go ahead, Sam. Shipper is his feet are in the upright position, apparently, so go for it.
Yeah, the picture is going to be hard to get out of my head.
Yes, sir.
Okay, my hands are in the air and waving like I just don't care. Go ahead.
Oh, my word.
I wanted to share some stories with you guys. I drove, driving truck was a big part of my life. Everybody knows about the stories when I went to Iraq and stuff, but there was a lot that happened before that and some that happened after. And I just made some notes of some of the, some of my favorite stories, and I'm going to share them with you guys.
Cool.
So I grew up in Idaho. Blackfoot, Idaho is the only claim to fame as the potato capital of the world.
I was going to say that, but just let
the world potato museum is right a mile from my house.
Wow.
So it's a must see. If you ever need something to do there, it's worth the trip.
I had no idea there was a potato museum. But I do now. I'm going to Idaho.
Well, when you watch the commercial on TV, there's a big old potato on the back of one of those flatbed trucks there driving around. Idaho potato.
Yep, that potato lives in my hometown when it's not out on the road.
Look at that, man.
That's like, that's a claim to fame. I mean, that's like, having the Wienermobile parked right next to your, in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Well, I think we're a step above the Wienermobile, Brian.
I agree. 100%.
I'd like to think we have a little more class than the Wienermobile.
You do. 100%.
But where I grew up is a lot of mountains, desert, lava rocks, there, this was a volcanic area. And so there's a lot of lava fields that just go for miles and miles. And it's that volcanic activity that made this such a fertile farmland. And along the Snake River, where I live, where Blackfoot is, for miles on either side is some of the best farmland in the entire United States. And like we talked about, potatoes are a big part of life over here. And so much so that they let kids out of school for 2 weeks. I don't know if they still do it, but when I was in school, they would let kids out of school for 2 weeks to go drive truck in potato harvest.
Wow.
So I started driving a 10 wheeler out in the field under the potato combines when I was 13 years old. And I get out of school for 2 weeks and go drive in the potato harvest. No driver's license required, just a willing attitude.
Wow.
And then when I got to work for I started working on a ranch, and when I was 14 or 15, we grow the hay and cut all the hay for the rancher's cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means, you know, we'd move the irrigation on it all summer until it was ready to harvest. And then we'd take the tractors out and cut the alfalfa and then rake it and then bale it. And then we'd have to go out with tractors and lift the, these are big 10 bales as big as a, you know, a van. And you'd load those on trucks and haul them back to the stack yard. And I was doing that when I was 14, 15 years old. And the guy I worked for, he asked me one day, he said, can you drive that truck and help haul hay? And I told him, I don't even have a driver's license. And he said, well, that's not really what I asked you. I asked if you could drive that truck. And I said, yeah, I think I could. So I started driving. It was a old 1983 Peterbilt with the 240-foot trailers. And I'd drive that out to the field, load it with hay bales, and just do that till the field was cleared off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how a lot of kids grew up out here where I'm from. And Jack said that you guys like paranormal.
Oh yeah.
And so I like to collect paranormal stories. It's kind of a hobby of mine. And so I got a few of them here that have to do with life on the farm, how we grew up out here. And there's a, you know, when we say out in the middle of nowhere here in Idaho, it's a little different than when somebody back east says it. When we say out in the middle of nowhere here in Idaho, it means that there ain't no help anywhere. You might see a house light in the middle of the night if you're lucky and on a tall enough hill, but there's no cell service. You're pretty much on your own.
Wow.
And this is a story that my dad told me about a man that he knew. My uncle knew him well, and they told me the story that this guy worked just like I did, out hauling hay off the fields into the stack yards. And they did this, a lot of times you'd work into the night. And this guy had, his name was Mike, not his real name, I changed it.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd been pretty wild, but he was starting to change. And his mother would always tell him, you know, the devil's going to get you, the devil's going to trap you if you don't change your ways. And Mike would always say, I'm not afraid of the devil. And he was out hauling, clearing a field of hay out in the middle of nowhere, no help around. And what you'd do is you'd take your truck out and you'd park it in the field where there's a lot of bales. And then you would walk over to where you left the tractor and drive the tractor over and start loading the bales on the truck. And sometimes you'd walk, you know, a half a mile to get to the tractor and bring it over to where you left the truck. But he drives out in the field. It's dark. It's in nighttime. And he drives out to the field and is just getting ready to park the truck. And he sees the lights on the tractor turn on and it starts driving towards him. And that, you know, he didn't think much of it. He thought, oh, that's somebody came out here to help me, you know?
Right.
And the tractor drives up and it parks right in front of the truck, almost bumper to bumper. And somebody gets out of the the lights are blinding him, but as something gets out of the tractor, he can see it coming down the steps and walk between the truck and the tractor and come over to his side of the truck. And this thing is like 8 feet tall, hairy, and he starts backing up, throws it in reverse and is backing up as fast as he can go in reverse. And this thing's running next to him and it jumps up on the running board, the tank step on the truck, and it leans in his window. He had his window down and it leans right in his face and says, "Are you afraid of me now, Mikey?"
Wow.
And jumped off his truck and took off.
Holy cow.
And nobody called him Mikey. They'd called him Mikey when he was a little kid, but nobody called him Mikey anymore. But this thing jumped up on his truck and said, "You afraid of me now, Mikey?" And took off.
Oh, my word. That'll definitely change your day.
Another story similar to that is in potato harvest, you'd work long hours at night. And a lot of the fields are surrounded by laverocks. So the laverocks would go around a certain area when they were, you know, the lava was coming out of the volcano. And then they'd harden, and now there's lava fields, but there's these spots out in the middle of them that are good dirt to grow crops, and that's what they do. They farm these spots that are out in the laverocks. And this story took place right next to a big lava field. The guy pulled up to a field in his truck, a 10-wheeler, and this was a while ago. So in the old 10-wheelers, you would have to go, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but you'd have to get in the back of the truck and put boards down, because there's a chain that moves on the bottom of the bed, and that's how you unload the potatoes. But you got to put boards over the top of that chain, and then when you unload it, you get in and you pull one board at a time, and it lets those potatoes out. And then when some of the potatoes have fallen off and they quit falling off, you pull another board, and that's how you unload your truck. But when you get out to the field, you have to put all those boards down. So you jump up in the back of the truck, put all the boards down, and then you can go load under the combine, load your truck full of potatoes. It's not how they do it now. Now they have self-unloading beds that all that's automatic. But, you know, 30, 40 years ago, that's how you did it. And anyway, farm trucks aren't known for taking the best care of their equipment. So this guy pulls up to the field and he's parked right next to these big laverocks. And he jumps in the back of his truck and he's putting his boards down. Uh-huh. And the lights on his truck start turning on and off. And he didn't think anything of it. He thought that, you know, it's just a short circuit in the wiring from which would be pretty normal for a farm truck. So he keeps putting his boards down. And when he gets all his boards down, he jumps out and starts walking up to the cab of the truck. And he sees this big hairy guy jump out of the cab of the truck. He was in there playing with the lights and run into the laverocks next to the field.
Wow.
So you can imagine being out there by yourself in the middle of the night and seeing something like that jump out of the front of your truck.
100%. Holy cow. That would not make me happy. I can tell you that.
So when there was a place where we would, cut hay and bale hay, and a lot of that happens at night because you're due, the moisture has to be just right in the air for you to be able to bale the hay and everything, and that happens at night. So when you're baling hay, you would do that at night. And there was a place where we had fields that was called Fransomville, and a lot of weird stuff happened out there, and we'd be out there at night baling hay. And you'd look over in the lights from your pickup that's on the edge of the field, you know, how you drove out there, the lights in the pickups would be on. And you know, you turned them off. You got there when it was still daylight and you didn't have the lights on, but you would look over and your lights are on. So we thought maybe it was just some kids out there goofing off. And so we started making a point to lock all the pickups, but it didn't stop that from happening.
Wow.
You'd still look over at night and your lights are on in your pickup, and you know that you locked all the doors, and we don't know what what was doing that. Just something strange that happened out there.
Well, look at it this way. On a brighter note, at least you know where your truck is.
You remember where you parked.
Right. I'm over here.
Wow.
Right.
I don't know. That's just one of the, that is just weird. I mean, what goes on in Idaho? You know, like what?
Potato cakes, potato fries.
Yeah.
Potato fill-in, potato salad.
But I mean, all the paranormal stuff, all that weird kind of like, that's just, you know, that's just really weird.
Well, maybe when we talk to Sam next time, yeah, we're going to tune in live to Sam out here in the fields here. What do you see?
There you go. That might be it. Yeah, that might be an interesting show.
Well, I worked with my older brother and one of his good friends, and I was 2 years younger than them. So any frustration they had, I took the brunt of it. I get beat up almost every day. But
nice.
Well, at least you knew it was coming.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't even say this, but my brother's friend almost every day would arrest me for molesting monkeys, and he'd throw me on the ground and beat the crap out of me for molesting monkeys.
You gotta love your brothers and his friends.
So we'd all work out there at night hauling hay. We'd work together and we'd listen to Art Bell, you know, Coast to Coast is the only thing on the radio. So some of those shows would get you pretty jumpy, you know?
Yes, sir. And
I was walking back to the truck after parking the tractor, and in the dark, I didn't have a flashlight or anything, and I tripped over something. And I reached down and it had curly hair and a hoof on it. And I realized it was a leg of a dead cow that a coyote had drug out there. And I had one of those moments of inspiration that only come a couple times in your life. And I thought, I'm going to get them back for beating me up every day, for arresting me for molesting monkeys. So I took that cow leg and I went over to this friend of my brother. I put it in his truck threw it up on the driver's seat. And he was gone in the tractor, but he would shortly be coming back to get in that truck. And we worked all night and we never saw him again that night. He didn't come back to work. And we found out later that he had been listening to one of those episodes of Art Bell.
Yeah.
And got scared and ran to his truck. And you know how you think something's behind you and you jump into the safe place, into that truck, and something grabbed him right in the ass, something big and heavy. As soon as he jumped in the truck, scared him so bad that he ran screaming all the way back to the truck, went home and never came back that night.
Oh my word. That's hilarious.
I'll tell you what, the ass kicking I got the next day was worth it.
Oh, I bet. That is just awesome. Oh,
I got a triple dose the next day when he found out what it was, but it was worth it.
It was, and it makes a freaking funny story. So sometimes we have to endure the punishments, but it's okay.
That's right. Well, a lot of it. So the river that I told you about, that separates the reservation. So right on the other side of that river is the Indian reservation, and the Indians ran a lot of land to the farmers for them to grow potatoes on. And so we'd spend time out there at night, you know, hauling potatoes and stuff. And I never had anything too paranormal, too strange happen out there. But I do know a guy who was ripping. He had a ripper plow, which is a real deep plow with the tines on it. And they'd use it to open up new farmland. So they were opening up a new field. And he was out there at night ripping this land that had never been farmed. And he noticed in the light of the tractors, he started seeing stuff. You know, he'd make a pass and then come back the other way and he could look over where he had ripped in the fresh ground that he dug up. And he started seeing stuff over there. So he got out and went over there and there was human skeletons and horse skeletons and old rifles, all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
And he so he stopped, you know, you don't keep, he went home and they called the tribal representatives and they mm-hmm. came out and looked at it and they had no idea that that was there, but they figured that that was a big area of a big fight that happened.
Oh, wow.
And that's why there were dead guys, rifles,
right.
dead horses out there that had happened, you know, 100 years ago, there'd been a big battle right there.
Wow. I thought maybe it was like an Indian burial ground or something like that. That was the first thing that popped into my head. I didn't, but I guess with the rifles and all that, that would be more of a giveaway that it was a battle that went on, right?
Yeah. And there was and the clothes and stuff they were finding was, some of it was white man, some of it was Native American. So,
okay. Yeah.
That's what they figured. It was a big fight happened there and wow. guys just got buried where they fell.
Wow.
So in one of those fields we would farm, there's a big area out in the middle of that field that nobody farms, and that's where they reburied those guys and they just left them where they were at.
That's really weird. That is like that. I mean, can you imagine that? Can you imagine just, you know, doing your job, plowing, doing the thing, and you get out and you look and there's bones?
Well, I was, you know, not that I was imagining it. I was thinking, like, you know, the fields down in Gettysburg.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. You know, yeah.
Same scenario.
Sure. Sure.
This, you know, you know, could happen.
Yep. Dead guys all over the place.
Yeah. Wow. Cause there were.
Yeah. Literally. So yeah, that's different. That is like, well, I just think that's creepy. You know, like if that were happening to me, I'd be like, okay, I'm done. You know, I'm just going.
Right. And,
you know, I mean, that to me, that's creepier than if I'm listening to Art Bell and somebody leaves a cow hoof in my freaking truck and I wind up sitting on it. You know, it's like, because this is like, you know, these are people. This,
right.
this could not work out well. You know, what if they all come back to life? Because that's where my brain goes. You know, I could be attacked by a band of skeletons. You know, that's
right.
That's where my brain goes. Sorry. Sorry.
Well, one of my favorite stories of all time, it has nothing to do with driving trucks, but it happened on the reservation. And there was an old lady out there, an old Native American lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived in an old house by the river, in the river bottoms. The river bottoms are, I mean, you can get lost out there pretty easy. It's pretty dense trees and really thick. And she lived in a house out there with no running water. She just had an outhouse. And she was getting really old, and her sons built her a new house with plumbing and running water and everything. And she wouldn't move.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I'm not leaving my house. I'm not leaving my friends. And they're like, what are you talking about? Your friends. And these guys said that they had went and cut her a bunch of firewood, 'cause that's how she heated her home.
Mm-hmm.
And they got done late at, it was dark already, and they didn't want to stack the firewood up that night. So they just threw it all out there by her house. And they told her they'd come back and stack it up the next day when it was light. And it snowed that night, and they came back and all the firewood was stacked up by her house, by the back door. And there'd been a path shoveled in the new snow from her back door to the outhouse.
Wow.
And this lady, she couldn't have done that. She was barely able to walk. And it, so her friend, they say, was a family of Sasquatches that lived down there in the river bottoms.
Wow.
They would come and help her. And that she was, her best friend was an old female Sasquatch that would come and sit with her, and they would talk to each other all day. And they just sit there and talk to each other like two old ladies do.
Wow.
One's just hairier than the other.
That is crazy. That is a really cool story. Holy yeah. cow.
So that has nothing to do with driving truck, but I wanted to tell you guys that story.
No, but that's a cool story though, dude. I like that.
It's Harry Henderson and his family.
Apparently. But it's, you know, and it's, but you know, it's like, I don't know. That's just really cool, dude. That I appreciate you sharing that one. That was really neat.
That it's one really of my neat. Favorite stories.
Yes, sir.
I think that's,
look at that. We're checking all the boxes today.
Yep. That is so cool.
I grew up driving truck, like I told you, and I've never taken a CDL test in my life, because in Idaho at that time, you could just have somebody you worked for sign a a waiver that said you knew how to drive truck.
Wow.
So when I turned 18, I went and I asked the guy I'd been driving for, I said, hey, could you sign this waiver? And I took it into the county courthouse and they gave me a CDL. So I'm pretty proud of the fact that I've never taken a CDL test in my life, but I have I've had a CDL for, oh man, I don't even want to think about how long now, for for almost 30 years now.
Wow.
Oh, say it's not so. A whole 30? Okay. You little whippersnapper.
Well, nobody's, we're just not as old as you are there, Shep. You know, what can we say? You know? Yeah.
Wow.
We're in the company of greatness.
30 years. Man. No, I didn't say greatness. I just, you know, I'm reflecting back. I'm looking forward to just not having it.
You're trying to remember when it was like 30, when you were, you know, hit your 30th year, right? So
I like to think that I, instead of the government teaching me how to drive truck, I learned how to drive truck watching the Smokey and the Bandit and listening to C.W. McCall songs.
There you go. That's it.
A little Wolf Creek pass. You want to screw that thing back on, Earl?
That's right. <yeah. laughs>
Nobody really knows that song unless you knew.
I know it.
Unless you played the real. Unless you played the album.
Yes, sir. That is awesome. Oh my word.
Sipping knee highs and drinking onion soup mix.
Disappointed. I'm kind of disappointed. I've never heard C.W. McCall on an intro or outro on the Hammer Lane Legends.
You keep listening. It might just be this show. Because I mean, yeah, we're you know, it's Jack. He's like 26.
Yeah.
He's like, well, Jack's not a truck driver. That's why.
Exactly. He has no idea.
Well, okay. Here we go. Yeah. We're going off the rail here. Jack was up here. And I was talking to him about Dire Straits' Money for Nothing song.
Yep.
And how I've heard it recently, and they've taken the whole second verse.
Right.
You know, about airplane that a certain somebody had. And he had no clue. He had no clue. No.
And that was the 80s.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. That was before his time. So,
yeah. Well, it was in his DNA. Anyway,
you guys put yourself the premier trucking podcast until you played some C.W. McCall.
There you go. I will make that. I will not only make the suggestion to the producer, Jack.
I can think of all these lines. You know, the clearance was a 12-foot line, but the chickens were stacked 13-9. We took that top row of chickens off, slicker and scum off a Louisiana swamp. No, I don't know that song.
No. I could tell.
It just came right back to me.
Yes, sir. I love that. That's great. Go ahead, Sam.
One of my favorites is Around the World with the Rubber Duck, but I don't know if that's politically correct now either.
Well, not a whole lot about that. The old stuff is, so it's all right.
Four-wheel drive. Oh, geez. Now you're talking my era. We probably have to get clearances and patent pending.
That's all right. Well, he can play a certain amount of it, you know, so it's okay. He can put a certain amount of that on without having to worry about. So I will talk to Mr. Producer.
Yeah, set him straight.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Lay down the law. So I started driving over the road and I just walked into a little a family run potato warehouse called Idaho Supreme. And I said, hey, I'm ready to go drive over the road and make a little more money than just, you know, working local around here. And and I said, do I need to be trained? And he said, no, you're going to learn a lot on your first couple trips, but we don't train you. And so that I started driving over the road and we would haul their potato products out all over the United States. And then we'd just get a load coming back. That's what they had their trucks for, was just to haul their product out. And I got a couple stories of that. I was down by Atlanta and I came around to, there was trucks. I was in the right-hand lane. There was trucks bumper to bumper in the left-hand lane. So I couldn't get over. And we're going 70 miles an hour. And I come around this corner and there's a pickup stopped on the side of the road. And a guy's lawnmower had fallen out of the pickup, out of the back of his pickup, and was sitting right in my lane.
Wow.
And he had walked down the freeway You know, he was 100 yards from his truck. He'd walked back down the freeway and was waiting for traffic to slow down so he could run in and grab his lawnmower and get it off the road. And I couldn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just tried to keep that lawnmower. I didn't want it to come up and tear out my airlines or anything. So I just kept it under all nine tires on the passenger side of the truck and ran over that lawnmower with all nine tires. That guy was standing 3 feet away from it when I ran over his lawnmower. And I looked in the rearview mirror and I just saw him throw his hands up in the air and he started walking back to his pickup. He just gave up on his lawnmower.
So much for that walk.
Yeah. Do you realize
what? What are you gonna say? What are you looking at, Shipper?
C.W. McCall, born in Audubon, Iowa. How about that?
How about that?
You know that, Sammy?
I didn't know that.
Mm. He was actually a mayor too.
Audubon, Iowa.
Yeah, A-U-D-U-B-O-N, Iowa. Should be right out by you.
He's in Idaho.
Oh,
Idaho.
That begins with an I. It's like my kid. He's going to visit all the states. You got all the A states done already.
All the states are lumped together by alphabet. You know, Idaho, Iowa, they're all up there together.
Yeah. One's corn, one's potatoes.
Exactly, right. Yes.
It's a hell of a bake-off. Oh, sorry to derail the show. I apologize.
So I learned to go into those big cities. I'd go in there real early in the morning before there was a lot of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could find your where you had to unload. And then if you had to cross lanes or make a U-turn, you could do that before there was a lot of traffic. So it'd make it a lot easier. I had to unload in Dallas. And there's on I-30, there's a loop, Highway 12, that goes down through the south part of Dallas. And I knew that where I had to unload was on that loop. And I got down there about 4 a.m. and got on that loop. And I realized I was on the wrong, I didn't know where I was at. It wasn't making sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled over just on the side of the road and I got out my maps, because that's what we used back then was maps.
Amen, brother. And
I realized I just got off on the wrong side of that loop. I just had to follow the loop and go on the other side instead of the side that I got off on.
Mm-hmm.
So I put the truck in gear and started rolling, and somebody jumped up on the passenger side of my truck and started trying to smash the window in. And I'm going through gears, and I carried a pistol under my seat, and I'm shifting gears and trying to find that pistol that I kept under my seat. And this guy's elbowing my window trying to smashing the window. I think there might have been drugs involved.
Uh-huh.
But I finally find that pistol, and I just showed it to him, and he took a dive off the passenger side of that truck going 35 miles an hour.
Wow.
And I watched him pull all the way down the side of that freeway down into the bottom till I couldn't see him anymore. I don't know what happened to him, but that was a good motivator when I showed him that pistol. He just took a swan dive.
Yes, sir. It's enough to make you just, leave. leave the hard way.
Change directions real fast.
Yes, sir. And it's amazing what some people will do. That's one of those things that you hear and you're just like, I guess maybe I've just led a sheltered life. I've never had that happen. You know, or anything like that. But you hear those stories and you're like, what is the matter with people that they would do something like that and continue to hang on once the truck started moving? I'd be like, if that were me, I mean, just me being me, I'd have been off as soon as you started to roll. As soon as I heard the brakes go, I'm like, all right, I'm out of here.
Well, you know, I think you might have had some chemical courage.
That's a nice way of saying it.
So I'm sure you guys remember that we didn't have internet or anything, and I had a TCH card, and they gave me a book that was like a 100-page book with all the stops in the United States. Mm-hmm. Where you could use the TCH card. And so you'd have to flip through there, find out, you know, what city you're in, find what state you're in, what city you're in, and then where you could use that TCH card.
Right.
And I was I was close to Houston and I was getting unloaded in Houston, and I looked in my book and I saw that there was a fuel stop, and it'd tell you if they had showers and everything. And it said it had showers and it had parking and it had a place to eat. And I thought, well, this will be great. I'll just come in here, get a, it was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I thought I'll stop at this truck stop, fuel up, take a shower, get a nap, and then, you know, head in there early in the morning and find where I got unload. And I got off the exit that the book told me to, and I was on the right exit, but I realized the book was, had made a mistake, because this was just a, like a residential area.
Hmm.
And I got a 53 foot dry van, a big stretched out Peterbilt. And I thought, well, if I make left turns are easier to make than right turns.
Yep.
So if I make three left turns, it should put me right back here where I can get back on the freeway.
He's from Boston.
Yeah.
Three lefts makes a right.
Oh.
So I made two left turns, and then I came to a T in a little neighborhood, and these were tiny roads, barely. I ended up in a spot two barely wide enough for two cars to get past each other. And I had to run over a lawn and I think a mailbox too, to make that third left turn. And I'm headed back to the freeway, but I'm going through a little, it was like an old replica town of the old West. Mm. So it had like old buildings and, you know, one of those tourist, real scenic tourist towns.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was right before Christmas, and there's Christmas decorations everywhere. And they didn't account for a semi truck driving down Main Street.
I guess so they didn't.
Keyword was, I remember there
this
were.
Lady, this lady had her little boy by the hand walking down the road, and he's watching this truck drive by just totally tearing down Christmas. And when I got back to the freeway, I had Christmas decorations flying 50 feet behind the truck because I went down the freeway and found a rest area where I could pull over and take the Christmas decorations off.
And that's how the Grinch stole Christmas.
There you are. You know, and I'm picturing this, thinking about Hamburg making that turn off State Road.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm picturing this.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knows that little town.
Yes, sir. At least around here they do.
Yes.
Because everybody's got to run through it when there's an accident. Yes. On 78.
No. Well, it seems like a lot of my stories happened down there in Texas. I just came over the Louisiana line and I hit a gator. And for people that don't know, when a tire comes apart, the tread that's laying out in the road, they call them gators, because if you run over them, they come up and bite you. And that's what it did. It tore out my airlines and locked up all the brakes in my trailer.
Wow.
And so I pulled over, and this is before cell phones and stuff. So I got on the CB and I asked for somebody to stop and give me a ride to a truck stop so I could get help. And finally this old boy stopped, and I'm not lying to you. I'm not even exaggerating. This guy, he had three teeth, if he had any, three, maybe four.
So he was from West Virginia.
No shirt, but tattoos all over, and he was all of 120 pounds, big strapping lad. And he stopped and picked me up, and we start going towards the truck stop, and I hear something, and I look in the sleeper, and there's three women and four dogs in the sleeper of that truck.
Wow.
Listen, so your guess is as good as mine as what was going on. I have no idea.
Either they were all his sisters,
or you found the truck driving an American gigolo.
Yes, sir. You know, because you know when you can use your load strap for dental floss. You know that's attractive.
You said it, not me.
I know, but I couldn't resist. It popped into my head. Oh. I just pictured this freaking skinny little dude smiling, and it's like, you know, picket fence. Oh man, I'm horrible.
Which one do you want to pick? Oh God, I'm going straight to hell.
Yeah, I know. That was
the express lane.
Sam, that was funny.
It's scary when it happened. It's funny now.
Oh, I bet. You know, yeah. I mean, what do you make of that when you're sitting there and you turn around and look and you know there's three girls and a dog and you're like,
it makes you wonder if you're going to be part of the harem.
Yeah, buddy.
Between them all, you're the only one with a full set of teeth. I said it.
We're horrible.
Well, there goes West Virginia.
I mean, it's just funny. It just, yep, that is, I don't know.
Go ahead. We're waiting.
Nope, it's good.
When I came home from Iraq, I bought two trucks, two 379 Peterbilts with 18 speeds and 600 horsepower cat motors, and I was gonna start hauling cattle, and so I bought those two trucks, and I leased two more, and I knew a guy who bought and sold old dairy cows, and then he would ship them out to the slaughterhouses. So that's all my trucks did was haul for him, and we'd haul these old dairy cows to the slaughterhouses, and we would load in Idaho, and one of our two regular stops, one of them was in Tolleson, Arizona, which was 13 hours and 800 miles away, and the other one was in Brawley, California, which was 900 miles and about 15 hours away. So I don't know if you guys have ever had anybody that hauled cattle on your show. I don't remember, but it's a little different than anything else you do. The DOT and the cops will never stop you when you're got a load of cows on.
Yeah, they don't want to get shit on.
Well, they don't want to be responsible for the cows, because right. If they shut you down, they gotta find somewhere to leave the cattle and stuff. So they'll never. I never had a logbook checked when I was loaded with cattle. And we would load in Idaho and go 15, 16 hours down to the Mexican border and unload.
Wow.
You gotta, when you're empty, they'll get you.
Right. Sorry. Exactly. That's when they're looking for you then.
I'm sorry.
It's the return trip.
No. There was something rolling around in my head.
Yeah, you better keep that one. Just hold on to that one, Chip.
But it's good. Oh, shit.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah, but it's
so good. One of my trucks was, one of the trailers I bought was illegal in California. And at that time, you couldn't drive over Hoover Dam to get to Arizona because of 9/11. And they hadn't finished the bridge. Now they have a bridge right there by Hoover Dam that you can drive across, but that wasn't completed. So we would have to load cattle in Idaho, go down through Nevada into California for about 100 miles in California. And then if we did it at night, then there was no check stations open in California. And if you got to across the way station in Parker, Arizona before 8 o'clock, you were home free. You could get down to Phoenix without ever getting checked.
Huh.
And so we'd do that every night. If you broke down out there, you were screwed because they'd get you, but that never happened to us. But we'd do that. We'd go through that corner of California and into Arizona before any of the way stations opened. And then we'd unload in Phoenix. And then you couldn't go back the same way because now it was daytime and that trailer's still illegal. It was too long to be in California. Okay.
Yeah, I was curious what the problem was.
Well, it was a 53-foot trailer with triple axle, and all the axles were at the very back of the trailer. And California has a bridge law that you can't be over 40 feet. Your back axle can't be over 40 feet.
Okay.
So we were always looking for ways to, we'd have to go up through Utah, through Flagstaff, Arizona, up through Utah and hit I-70 and then go back to where we would load cattle. And that would add a couple hundred miles to the trip. So we were always looking for a shorter way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to a truck driver who hauled cattle there too. He was a company driver, a real smart guy, it turned out. But he said, why don't you go through Zion National Park? He said, you go up there after 5, you get there at 5 and the guard station's closed. And then you drive up the road, you go through the tunnel, and you come out on I-15. And you can shoot right back up to Idaho. And he said, we used to do that all the time when I drove truck down there. And I thought, that sounds like a good idea. So the next time I went down there, I did that. I unloaded in Phoenix and I went up. I got to Zion National Park after 5 o'clock. So the guard station was closed, so they didn't stop me. And I head up to this tunnel that he'd talked about. And the road's getting smaller and smaller, mm-hmm. and more switchbacks. And I'm dragging that 53-foot trailer over the switchbacks now because they're getting so sharp. And there's nowhere to turn around. I'm committed now. And I get up to this tunnel. And if you guys want to look it up or anybody listening, look up the Zion's Mount Carmel Tunnel. And I pull up to this tunnel, and it was built like in the 1930s when they didn't have huge cattle trucks. And it's got you can look in the tunnel and see all the paint on the roof from the RVs that have gone through there. And I thought, I can't turn around. And so I dumped all the air out of my
I'm looking at the tunnel truck. Now
and I eased in that tunnel right in the middle, so because it's an arch on top, and I eased into that tunnel right in the middle, and I got the truck in the tunnel, and I thought, you know what, I can get through this tunnel. I just got to be careful. And right then a car comes the other way, and I get out of the truck and I walk up to the door, and a lady rolls down the window, and I said, you got to back up because I got to go through this tunnel. And she said, I'm not backing up for a mile and a half, and this tunnel's a mile and a half long and it's windy.
And wow.
And so it took me over 2 hours to go that mile and a half through that tunnel. And the whole time I had visions of me being stuck in there. When they opened the park in the morning, they'd find a truck stuck in the tunnel like a cork in a wine bottle. Take the truck apart to get me out and then just send me the bill when it was all done.
Right.
But I finally made it through that tunnel. It took me 2 hours to get through there. And I get out. And I opened the door to get out of the truck to see how much damage I'd done to the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And my legs were so wobbly. This is after I drove in Iraq. So adrenaline wasn't anything new to me, but my legs were so weak from the driving through that tunnel. I just fell on the pavement and laid there until I had the strength to get up and look at my truck. And there was not one scratch on that truck.
Wow.
And if you look at a picture of that tunnel, you'll see why that was an accomplishment. Anyway, I found that driver a couple weeks later, and I said, what the hell's wrong with you telling me to drive through that tunnel? And I said, you told me you did it all the time. And he said, well, yeah, we did with the flatbeds.
Flatbeds, yeah.
Wow.
That's just like LTL here, delivery. Oh, we get trucks in here all the time. UPS, yeah. FedEx.
So, still not my favorite person.
You're right. Yeah, well, I can imagine not. That is amazing.
Go ahead, Brian.
I'm looking at these pictures. I'm looking. I found it online. And I'm looking at these pictures, and I'm just like, holy!
It does
crap.
Say 13.6 at the very top point.
It is.
Yeah. Well, here's the kicker. I had a special trailer that was built for Holstein cattle, which are taller than regular cattle.
Of course.
So it was even a little taller than 13.6.
Wow.
But dumping the air out, that's the trick. Dump all the air out.
You're lucky you were empty.
That's it inside the tunnel. Yeah. Wow.
That's the old Pennsylvania Turnpike.
That's what it looks like. Holy cow.
That's the old tunnel at Somerset. That is Somerset and
that is freaking that's gutsy, dude.
Well, I had no choice thanks to my friend. Friend in quotes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Friend in quotes is right. Wow.
Yeah.
So go ahead. So I was busy looking.
One more strange story for you.
Okay.
I was coming out of, so we'd unload in Brawley, California, which was right on the Mexican border. And we'd, like I said, we'd drive the 900 miles from Idaho, unload. And by then you're too tired to go to sleep. So you just turn around and head back. And I'm heading through the Glamis sand dunes. I'm on Highway 78. It's dark. And I saw something run across the road in front of my headlights. And it was I'm not joking, it was an alligator that was fuzzy like a coyote. A furry alligator ran across the road in front of me.
Wow.
Out in the middle of the sand dunes. And for years and years, I thought that I was just too tired and I was seeing things. And then I listened to a podcast called Monsters Among Us.
Yes, sir. You heard that one. Yes. Go for
it. You guys listen.
I know that one. Yeah. That just popped. It was popping in my head as you were talking. I'm like, oh, I remember a story like this in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. In Pennsylvania.
Yep.
He's had three people call in and say they've seen fuzzy alligators.
Yes. Yes. So
I honest to God saw a fuzzy alligator run across the road in front of my truck.
That is the craziest thing, isn't it? It's like that. Wow. And you actually saw it. That is, you know.
I saw it. Yep.
Wow.
And for years, I thought it was a hallucination from being so tired, but then I couldn't believe it when I listened to those other people say they saw fuzzy alligators.
Yeah. That's crazy. That is just crazy. Wow, dude. Cause that's one of the shows that I like listening to, Monsters Among Us with Derek Hayes. I just think it's a fun show to listen to, you know, cause I find that stuff interesting. I think it's fun to listen. And those are all call-ins, you know, those are all people calling, leaving messages. So that's actually really cool. Wow.
I need to call him and tell him my story.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you don't listen to your own podcast.
It's cause I'm here. I'm there for the podcast. Well, you know what it is? It's weird listening to myself. I don't know. It's just one of those weird things.
Unbelievable.
It's a shame, isn't it? Anyway, back to Sam.
I never left, but go ahead.
So like I've said, I don't drive truck anymore. I am glad that I did. I'm glad for all the experiences I had. Uh-huh. I think it's a good way to see the country. And I know it's changed a lot since I drove truck, but I'm glad I did it.
Right.
I miss it sometimes. And I have a 8-year-old son now that loves driving. He loves trucks, everything about him.
Oh, that's cool.
So when I know all the farmers and ranchers around here. And so I'll go call them up and tell them, hey, I'll pull a load for you guys somewhere and take my son with me so he can go ride in the truck. And I actually took off 2 weeks of vacation last harvest and took my son with me, took him out of school for 2 weeks so we could go drive truck in the harvest. And that's the best vacation he's ever had. He still talks about it.
Oh, that's really cool. Oh my word. That is so neat, dude.
We'd get out in the field and I'd put him in the driver's seat and he'd stand up on that clutch with both feet so he could push it down and put the truck into first gear and let out on the clutch and I'd let him drive out there in the fields. And after 2 weeks, he was floating gears out there just like his old man. He was
that's neat,
having a ball.
Yeah, that's so freaking fantastic. I mean, he's what, you know, what'd you say, he's 8 years old? You know,
8 years old now.
Wow. Yeah. That's cool. I bet he had a blast, man. I, you know, that is just so neat. That's such a neat experience for a kid. You know, I think that's really cool.
And I hope he, you know, for his, I hope he finds a nice girl and has a family and doesn't have to leave and drive trucks. But
yeah,
I do hope he gets a CDL, because you'll never starve if you get a CDL.
Yes.
There's always work for you. So, I can't tell you, my wife wasn't very impressed when I sent her a video of when he was five, her five-year-old boy steering a loaded cattle truck down the freeway 80 miles an hour, sitting on my lap. She didn't think that was very impressive. But,
that's okay.
But he had a blast.
That, you know, that's fantastic. That's the cool stuff that, you know, being a dad, that's the cool stuff you can do, you know. That is a memory that he'll never forget. That is so neat. So how long have you been out of driving? Like how long has it been?
2000, when the economy crashed in 2008.
Which time?
Fuel went up to, you know, how come that always happens when a Democrat's in office?
I don't know. It's a good question, isn't it?
Just a side note. But
yep.
When fuel went up to $5 a gallon, I saw the writing on the wall and I sold my sold my trucks. I was able to pay everything off that I owed and had money left to go to school. So
good for you, dude.
I did that.
That's fantastic. That is really fantastic. Wow. So what'd you go to school, if I can ask? I'm not, you know, I don't mean it like I'm prying. I was just curious, what'd you go to school for? We don't even have to put it on. We can leave that out if you don't want to.
Oh, I don't mind. I went to school to be a airplane mechanic.
Nice. That's so awesome.
I did that. And when I got out of school, I got hired by the company that builds the Predator drones.
No kidding.
I was a civilian working with the military again, and I was a mechanic on a crew that would train the pilots to go overseas and fly the Predator drones.
Wow. So. That is neat, dude. That is really neat. That's cool. You have led a really exciting, kind of cool life, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I think back on what I've done. The Lord's given me a lot of experiences.
And how.
So.
Yep. That is really neat. That is a blessed life, dude. That is, and you have kids and a wife, and that's, you know, that's top notch, man. That's that's probably the best part of my life. Apart from Jesus Christ, that's the best part of my life, you know? So.
Yep, it is. Yep. So when my son was born, there's no better place to raise kids than Idaho. So when my son was born, I quit that job and I moved back here to Idaho. And I still work with the military doing some training and stuff with them, but I don't have to leave home, and I can do all that here and be home every night. So I'm grateful that it worked out that way.
And how. Yes, sir.
And he has all the French fries he can eat.
Yep. You got that right.
So I just thought of something when I was selling the trucks, I had one truck left, and I had to keep running it to pay the bills, you know, until I was able to sell it. And I told my wife, I said, I promised you I'd never leave again after I went to Iraq, that I'd never leave, you know, for a long period of time. So pack your bags and your two dogs and you're going with me. So we ran that last truck all over the cattle hauling kind of fell through.
Mm-hmm.
And I got work pulling a trailer for a dry van all over the United States. And I just packed up the wife and her little dogs and took them with me so that I didn't have to break that promise that I wouldn't leave her again.
That's neat. Did she like it? Did she enjoy her time when she was with you?
Yeah, she did.
That's cool.
She did, except for, so we were in Wyoming and I let her she had two schnauzers, and they're the quietest, most peaceful dogs you've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
They're the yappinest, loudest dog.
Not.
And I let her dogs out in Wyoming, out in the middle of nowhere, just on the side of the road. And they took off chasing something and came back, and they both been sprayed by a skunk.
Wow.
And there's nowhere to put them except in that truck.
Hmm.
So luckily we just stopped at the Costco and had a couple cases of water, and we spent all that water and all the shampoo and soap we had getting it to where they could ride in the truck and and be tolerable.
Right.
After they got sprayed by skunks.
There's always that van behind you.
That's right.
53 feet of room to roam.
That's it. Oh, shit. They're schnauzers. They only need three.
Yep.
That's right. Yep.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Well, I'm glad she enjoyed her time with you. That's neat. Because that's something that's an experience that, you know, like being married. I mean, you know, I've been driving for 30 years. I'm married 35. And, you know, like, how do you explain that to your wife? You know, or if you're a woman, how do you explain that to your significant other? You know what I mean? However, it's just one of those things that, I don't know. It's one of those things that you can't relate to that easily. So, you know, it is what it is. So that's cool that you actually got that you took her with you. And I think that's neat. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it was fun. And she's an immigrant from a different country. So she got to see all the United States. And
awesome.
See more of it than most people that live here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. That's really cool. That is neat. So
now you just lead a quiet life at home. Wow.
That's right.
I envy you.
Me too. I mean, that's nice. That's really, I'm glad things have worked out the way they have for you. You know, it's been, it's so cool. And it's so cool getting to know you, Sam. It's just, you know, this has just been a real pleasure on, you know, for us and for me, you know, just, it has just been, it's been really nice getting a chance to visit with you again. You know, spend some time and enjoy it.
Yeah, I feel the same. I'm really, really happy for the success that you guys have had, and I wish you a lot more.
Well, we really
hope you keep growing and
yep,
and sharing these stories with everybody. So
yep,
and that's the game plan.
It is. That is the game plan. And yeah, we'll see where it goes and how long we, you know, we're able to do this for. And as long as there are people who want to come on the show, you know, and talk and share their stories. That's to me, that it's just, it's so fun to get to know people, you know, I enjoy it. So it's been real. It has really been real. Even for Shipper, cause he's a real people person.
Yeah.
You know, that's, which is why he and I both drive at night. Cause we're people, we're people persons.
Yep.
The five people I deal with at night, I really don't need to deal with them.
Yes, sir. So, well, Sam, this has been fun, and I've enjoyed you coming back on the show and sharing this with us and just, you know, talking about your life and, you know, where your driving took you here in the States and what you did and kind of hearing like where you're at now.
Look where his driving took him. It took him across the world, halfway across the world and back again.
It literally did. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, that is, it's cool. It is really
started
cool.
Out of hayfield in Iowa there and ended up in Iraq.
And then back Idaho, to the hayfield.
Idaho.
Potatoes.
I know. It's like, what?
Potato.
Yeah. Idaho, you know, Illinois, whatever.
You know what I'm thinking? You know why I keep saying that, you know, build it and they will come. The field of dreams field of or dreams. Streams or yeah. Streams or whatever the hell it is.
Kevin Costner, yeah. Right. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. You know, so much for him. Did you hear about that? Off the, with the wild, with the wild side. The Yellowstone thing?
What about it?
Apparently him and that producer there, Sheridan, don't get along too well anymore. Huh. So I guess he's going to kill him off or...
Huh?
Yeah. I just heard about it. It sucks.
Is it a good show?
Oh, well, yeah.
I never watch it.
Oh, it's great. Guns, politics, it's all great.
Wow.
Yeah.
When is it? Is it like in this era taking place?
Yeah. Well, I used to. Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah, and then they go back and forth. He does the 1890. Back and forth.
Okay.
But
because now it really makes no sense at all to me. It's like it's.
Well, you Google the thing. It's got five seasons on there. You know, and we're right in the halfway point of the whole thing. And now all of a sudden they're not playing nice anymore.
Well, yeah, they'll kill him off.
Yeah. Again, they killed him once before, but he'll come back.
Wow, he's like a zombie.
Well, no.
Sam's like,
Sam knows what I'm talking about. He lives in Idaho.
I thought you were almost going to say Iowa.
See?
Damn, the chippy got it right.
Yeah, exactly. I know, right?
I got it written up here on the ceiling tile. I'm just staring at it.
Oh, well, what the heck. On that note, Sam, thank you so much for coming on. If you ever want to come back on again, if you think about things you'd like to share or, you know, if the black sheep...
Oh, yeah. That's the other guy.
Yeah, gets, you know, and he ever decides he wants to come on or anybody else that you were there, if you're in contact with anybody, we'd love to talk to them, you know, if they want to. I don't ever, you know, don't ever want to make anybody uncomfortable or anything like that, but that'd be cool. That would be cool.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. I enjoy visiting with you guys and getting to know you.
Good. Thank you so much.
You know, pleasure doing business with you too.
It was a blast. And on that note,
all right.
If you enjoyed the show, Shipper, what can they do if they enjoyed the show?
They can share the show. Share the show throughout the world with all their friends over there in Iraq, everywhere, wherever you are. Share it.
There you go.
Get the word out.
You got that.
This way we get more people to talk to.
That's right.
Because we're peoples.
Well, yep, you are anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
Positively.
You know it.
Oh, yeah. So with that, thanks again, Sam. And for all you other people out there, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane. Good night.
See ya.
Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we've got us a convoy.
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading for Bear on I-10 about a mile out of Shaky Town. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck and I'm about to put the hammer down.
Cause we got little
back off them hogs. 10-4, about 5 mile or so. 10, roger, them hogs is getting intense up here.
By the time we got into Tulsa Town, we had 85 trucks in all. But they's a roadblock up on the Cloverleaf, and them bears is wall to wall. Yeah, them smokies as thick as bugs on a bumper. They even had a bear in the air. I says, calling all trucks, this here's the duck. We about to go a-hunting bear.
Cause we got great big
Big Ben. Negatory, Big Ben. You're still too close. Yeah, them hogs are starting to close up my sinuses. Mercy sakes, you better back off another 10.
Well, we rolled up Interstate 44 like a rocket sled on rails. We tore up all of our swindle sheets and left them setting on the scales. By the time we hit that shy town, them bears was getting smart. They'd brought up some reinforcements from the Illinois National Guard. There's armored cars and tanks and jeeps and rigs of every size. Yeah, them chicken coops was full of bears and choppers filled the skies. Well, we shot the line, we went for broke with 1,000 screaming trucks and 11 long-haired friends of Jesus in a chartreuse microbus.
Hey, rubber duck to Sodbuster. Come on there, yeah. 10-4, Sodbuster. Listen, you want to put that microbus in behind that suicide jockey? Yeah, he's hauling dynamite. He needs all the help he can get.
Well, we laid a strip for the Jersey Shore and prepared to cross the line. I could see the bridge was lined with bears, but it didn't have a doggone dime. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck. We just ain't going to pay no toll. So we crashed the gate doing 98. I says, let them truckers roll 10-4.
Cause we got a mighty cowboy rocking through the night. Yeah, we got a mighty cowboy. Ain't she a beautiful sight? Come on and join our cowboy. Ain't nothing gonna get in our way.
Big Ben, what's your 20? Omaha. Well, they ought to know what's good at them hogs out there for sure. Well, mercy sakes, good buddy. We're going to back on out here, so keep the bugs off your glass and the bears off your tail. We'll catch you on the flip-flop. This here's a rubber duck on the side. We gone. Bye-bye.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.